Hi, everybody. So this is my first time reading it, this series, except for one tiny, tiny exception. When I was 14 years old, Jimmy Savetic, who started this series, kind of half-snuck, half-allowed me into Hemingway's, because my mom was reading that night. And at one point, he had me get up and read a poem. And I don't remember what I read, quite honestly. It's kind of a whole blur. But I have read here before, just a little. I am, a queer person. I am an archivist. Those are the things I write about. I think a lot about queer history. My first chapbook is about the history of the AIDS crisis in Pittsburgh, which, as you can imagine, can get a little depressing. Fair warning. I want to thank Joan and Chris for inviting me to be here. I want to thank everybody who, makes this happen. And I want to thank Jimmy Savetic for starting this all up. So this first poem I'm going to read is something like a love poem. It's called Body of Work. My incised flesh against yours makes something more than whole. I remember counting down from 10, 9, 8. I think I may have hit 7 before the day went dark. I woke up, worked over, wanting water, waiting for my world to change. I spent a year like that. Until, trembling, I pulled my shirt over my head, the way the boys do. My skin sunset red, peppered with scars, constellations of where I've been. My incised flesh against yours makes something more than whole. I remember when I placed my hand on your cautiously scarred chest, marveled at your carefully caretaken form compared to my open wounds. But you touched me like I was an artifact, aged and filled with stories and complete in and of myself. You touched me like you wanted to take me in. My incised flesh against yours makes something more than whole. I remember what it felt like to impress upon each other, to make contact for the first time in this new body of work. If I had known how this would feel, I would have shaped myself better for you. You shake your head, starry-eyed, lips parted just enough to sigh, as if you barely needed air in your lungs, as if I was all you needed to take in. So in the queer community, we have this concept of queer elders, which is kind of exactly what it sounds like. It's, older queer people who are around to mentor, to guide us, to people that we can look up to. My generation grew up without queer elders, and that is because of the AIDS crisis. Wiped out an entire generation, pretty much, of queer people, and there has really been no one around to fill that gap. And that's part of why I started writing my first chapbook. I, wanted to understand and know those stories. But that's what this poem is about. It's called Community. When we talk about loss, we don't typically talk about quilting. We don't typically shape our irreverence into careful squares, fingers needle pricked and bleeding. We don't typically send our loss to San Francisco. When we talk about loss, we usually know who we're talking about. Usually we can make a ghost out of patchwork. My elders tell me that I could never understand blood. When we talk about loss, we gather at the four-story bar in Bittersweet Memoriam, gather and make a toast with bloody palms, find ourselves stitched together with longing, gather and search in vain for something to pass on. I want to know who I'm missing. Thank you. This next one is called Words Like Tropical Fruit. I have become the kind of person who writes about my queerness like I have no other hobbies. Like it's the specter that hangs over everything, waiting for the day when I say, "Oh, but have you considered it from a gay perspective?" Then he will swoop down and wrap his cold, gangling arms around me, float up so our heads brush the ceiling, sweep me off my feet and kiss me with lips as cold as my father's eyes when I have failed. Some days I wish I could eat my words. I suspect they'd be sweet, delectable in nature. The specter and I would share them, lovers on top of the world, and I would tell him about my queer day in my queer house while we made love on the queer ceiling. Why is the ceiling queer? I would complain to him, queerly, that I can only ever write about being queer. His face would soften, though the fire in his eyes would burn hot, and with conviction, he would tell me, someone has to do it. Thank you. So this next one's from my book. I wrote it largely between my freshman and sophomore years of college, and like I said, it's kind of been my attempt to understand with any amount of clarity what the AIDS crisis could have possibly been like for people. And so there's a lot of perspective poems in there. And this is one of those. It's called Beautiful Thing. To know, my love, the way your lips move, my inability to watch you falter is my own. Steady my shaking hands. Beg you to sit on the green velvet couch. Fall to your knees as the sun rises beneath the window and our living room becomes a makeshift chapel, and I vowed to never leave, but, darling, to know the inevitability that you will forget me someday, soon. Steady my shaking hands. Beg you to stay just a few more moments. Lay your head on my chest. Watch the sun set. This next one is called The First History Man. I spend my days scanning hundreds of photos where gay people in gay bars are existing in front of a camera. They must have been brave to let the paper take their picture, and we don't even know their names. I go to these places and find worn-out ruins. I go, and we don't know anything we didn't know already. Who of these people knew that they were becoming history? Did they wander from bar to bar, searching for the camera? This is the story of where I came from. I roam through this wasteland of images, hoping to see myself in someone else's eyes. I search through every Kodak moment, and occasionally I find a piece of someone I can grasp. Our community hasn't learned any better. We will keep taking pictures in search of our missing selves. This one is also from the book, and it's another, you know, kind of trying to get in perspective all of the kind, well, not all of, but quite a bit of the knowledge that I got for the book came from the Pittsburgh AIDS Task Force handbook that was written for people with AIDS to kind of help them from with everything from, you know, support groups to burial arrangements. And that's where the title comes from, too, because one of the things that they advise is to clean your surfaces really thoroughly, right? You have to make sure, because you're very susceptible to infection if you have AIDS. And so the idea is to keep everything clean using a combination of 9 parts water and 1 part bleach. So that's where that came from. But this is another from the book. I do this every day. Wonder whether my adamant dedication is worth its cost, whether I might live another day alone. Count the steps to the kitchen, count the marks on my skin, compare the two and hope for the triumph of the former so that I might live another day alone. I do this every day. Wonder whether the adamant dedication is worth its cost, whether I might live another day alone. I do this every day. Ask myself, which is going faster, your body or your mind? My mind responds, your body, and it will not elaborate. I do this every day. Count the steps to the kitchen. Count the marks on my skin. Compare the two. Hope for the triumph. I do this every day. Wonder whether my relic is worth its cost, whether I might live another day. And this last one I wrote very recently. It's called Basement Poem. I hold history inside my chest, ancestry in my throat, commitment on my tongue. He tells me he moved because he was tired of living in basements. I turn and whisper this to anyone who will listen, because I am the keeper of those basements, their relics. I hold history inside my chest, ancestry in my throat, commitment on my tongue. Everybody knows that those who hid better were safer. He tells me he used to park blocks away and walk to the underground bar, another layer of quiet on top of the ever-lengthening trip down unpainted stairs. There is asylum in descent. I hold history inside my chest, ancestry in my throat, commitment on my tongue. And I will tell the stories of these bars and these basements, the way they ached and the way they protected. I will tell stories of things I could never hope to understand, because even those who had windows boarded them up. Thank you. Yeah.